talking with the experts.
I want to move on to the point about how we can utilize, you know, big media and use it effectively so that it makes us the, you know, the expert in the area that we are promoting.
Three ways I'll tell people how to leverage media. And I one is leverage what is called a media calendar. In order to get covered by the media, you have to be interesting so they are interested in you. But if you relate to a media calendar, what are the holidays going on year round? And if you have something that's thematic for that month, they will be more receptive. One tip number two is leverage something called newsjacking. So that's the third tip. Write a book because it always is a unique thumbprint. Whatever the topic is, write a book on it.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts. This is where we discuss great ideas to take your business to the next level. How do we know these ideas work? Well, it's because we're talking with business owners who are using these ideas. Business owners who have years of experience and expertise. All things business by business owners for business owners. And now, here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello, welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson, from rosedavidson.com.au. Talking with the Experts is all about business by business owners for business owners. You can find it on all podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. And don't forget, when you're over on YouTube or any of the other podcast channels, please follow, please share, and I'd love to hear from you. So leave a comment. And let me know that what you enjoyed about any of the episodes that are listed there. Today, my guest, and I'm very happy to introduce him to you, is Mitch Carson. Now, Mitch, for the past 30 years, has helped hundreds of speakers, authors, coaches, consultants, and business owners worldwide land TV and radio interviews, boosting their credibility instantly and aiding them to charge premium prices for their products and services. And as a television host on NBC Channel 3 Las Vegas, he knows what it has done for him and for his clients. Mitch is also a celebrated professional speaker and closer who has spoken on stages in 63 countries and produced over 2,000 live events in 19 countries. He has been a Home Shopping Network pitchman for Who Knows How to Sell Anything and craft a unique message around any product, person, or event. Lastly, he is a published author with John Wiley & Sons and books published in 6 languages. And we are going to be talking about how to 5X your revenue in 2025. Mitch, welcome to Talking with the Experts. It is a great pleasure to meet you.
I'm glad to be here. Wow, I was impressed with that introduction. I haven't heard it in a while. Well, thank you for that.
You're very welcome. It's the way I delivered it. It's what it is.
It was absolutely with the beautiful Australian accent. Well, maybe we have the accent and you don't, depending That's on it. Which perspective you take.
Absolutely. Mitch, you've got an impressive resume, but tell me, how did you get into TV and radio? And, you know, what are you doing with yourself these days?
Well, these days I am working with people who want to take their business to the next level. I mean, I know that sounds a little bit cliche, but there are things that I've learned in my vast experience. As I mentioned before we started this conversation, or let's say our pre-conversation before the conversation, I've run about 2,000 events worldwide, done probably 200 in Australia, literally going back and forth. And I would spend a month and go city to city back and forth back in 2006 and 7. And the platforms might have changed since I ran those events. So I was, let me see, 2006, 7, and 8. I was in Australia a lot. I should have had a second home there. And what I realized there, and that was my first country that I went to on an international basis other than Canada. And for speaking, other than Canada, that was my first internet. Then I ran and did an event over in New Zealand, and that was interesting. And there are very few differences, almost no different. There are more similarities and dissimilarities in each market. But here's what's ignorant. What works in Australia doesn't necessarily work in America, and vice versa. So one of the things that I want to share with the listeners today is understand your market. And it isn't textbook. There's science, and there's a little bit of art and common sense. And you blend them together, and you're going to have a more effective campaign in boosting your perceived awareness, your perception in the marketplace, and the awareness associated with you. And I'll give an example from the first time I spoke in Australia back in 2007. I got invited to speak at an event by a man named Mal Emery. And he was an event producer that I knew from when he would come over to the U.S. to attend seminars. And I always liked him. And George Bush was in office back then, junior, not the senior Bush, the young two-term George W. Bush. And he said to me, this man, Mal, said to me in Melbourne, there were about 350 people in the audience at this hotel. Very first time in Australia, very super tired from the event, took a shower, came back downstairs to then deliver my talk to these people. And he said to me, he said, mate, I said, no, I'm straight, Mal. I said, no, I don't mean that. What are you going to do to overcome the political bias? He said, they hate you, mate. I said, who hates you? The Australian people. I said, why? They haven't even met me yet. I haven't taken the stage. Well, they hate your politics, mate. I said, what politics? I'm not a politician. I'm a businessman. I'm here to deliver value to your treasured audience of people. He said, but mate, they don't like your politics and what you're doing. And Australians are having to go over to Iraq and get involved in American politics and their war. I said, I have nothing to do with that. That's way above my pay grade, mate. I started calling him mate at this point. And I, you know, we would say dude or bro, but you know, I was in Australia, do as the locals do. So I called him a mate, and it was quite uncomfortable because we don't use that terminology, but I did it nonetheless. I got used to it as time went by. And he said, you're going to sell better to my crowd if you're able to break the ice properly. I said, Mal, I've got it. Trust me. So I came out onto the stage, elevated in the crowd, and there's this vast audience of Australians in the audience. And I thought, where are the kangaroos? I wasn't going to come out with that kind of a line. You guys would probably be tired of it, you know, from visiting ignorant Americans. You know, like, oh, everybody's got a kangaroo pet. No, I didn't say that. What I did say, because I took into, and here's the lesson I learned, and I use some common sense, science, plus understanding what's going on in the local environment, knowing that what works in America doesn't apply in a country that is a 14-hour flight out of Los Angeles. It's a long way all the way to Melbourne. And I, of course, learned how to pronounce it Melbourne, not Melbourne, as we would say in America. So I'm there and I said, guys, before I begin, he introduced me, says, all the way from Los Angeles, California, is my good friend, Mitch Carson, who I met back in the 90s, back in Phoenix, Arizona, at an event, which was all true. He set this up, and he's here to rock your world, or whatever it was. I said, before I begin, let me clear something up right away. I did not vote for George W. Bush. I got a standing ovation, Rose, before I began my presentation. It was probably the smartest move I could have made at that time. Today, if I mentioned George W. Bush, they would look at me cross-eyed because nobody knows who he is today. He was the president during that time. He was the reason Australian troops went to Iraq for the supposed weapons of mass destruction, which they never found. If we look at our history books, it was a big joke. It was all about money, finding and taking their oil, et cetera, et cetera. But I used a current event, applied it to my current situation, being in a foreign market to me. Now, we all look the same. There's no difference in looking at an Australian than an American. We all come from European ancestry anyway. We have different accents. you know, and I had to take, instead of an elevator, I had to take a lift up to my room, a couple little differences, and I had to put my luggage in a boot, not in a trunk. Minor differences, but I got adjusted over time, and he called me mate versus buddy or dude or what, you know, the different slang that we all use with our respective country of residence. I made the adjustment to the audience. And that's one of the most important pivots one can make to profits. So you want to pivot to profits. I had to pivot and change my presentation, which I normally gave in my home country, because I was in a different environment. Very different environment. Now, I had one of my best sales days ever. First time in Australia, the line was long when they bought my pack. They called it a pack there. Well, you know that. They call it a, we call it a system or our information or our bundle. But in Australia, I got to buy the pack. I said, what pack? What? Pack my bags? But, you know, you got to get used to the language. So understand the local vernacular, understand the local traditions, understand the differences so there are, so they evaporate. Evaporate. I didn't know, literally, it's as simple, Rose, as when I checked in at the front desk, gave my credit card, showed my passport, and she said, go to the right, take the lift up to the third floor. You know, I'm trying to do my Australian accent, not very good. I said, lift what? What am I lifting? I got my bags. Is that? Oh, no. Oh, for you, you folks would call it an elevator. I said, why are you calling it a lift? Doesn't make any sense. In the imprint, you know, the stamp in the door of the elevator says Otis Elevator Company. But in the UK and in Australia, you guys refer to it as a lift. Which one is correct? Who cares? But I had to adjust and understand the vocabulary there. And there were little lessons that I learned to become more effective in adapting to the market. Now, in your case, Rose, I don't know if your audience is US-based. Is it international?
It's international, okay. Mitch.
So some of the people will feel my pain or feel the story of what I went through, because in the Australian market, people are going to laugh and understand. And it's a little bit of history. And you have to adjust to the market no matter where you are. If I'm speaking to a group of women, do you think my presentation style is going to differ than I've got a room full of men only in the room? You betcha. I might make male jokes in the room with only men than I would with mixed and or women only. I might say, gosh, if the women were here, they could multitask. Women are known to be better multitaskers as a general rule of thumb. Whether it's true or not, I just find that women can do many things, probably because they're designed to be mothers, you know, and you have to kind of juggle a lot as a mom versus men. One thing only that I could make a joke about that and probably to a room of women and they would applaud. So tailoring your message is important to match the market. Message to market match, I believe, is critical in any environment. So I had to do my, that night, because I then went on to Sydney after Melbourne, I had to then fly in the morning or a couple days later, because the next weekend I had another very big event in Sydney. I went from 350 to 1,200 people at an event. So I then studied up on Australian lingo, and bloody ripper, mate. One of the guys said in the audience, Rose, this threw me, and he did it on purpose, because when we opened up the Q&A, there were three American speakers and one Australian, a guy named David Schwimmer. David Schwimmer was a known, he was doing share trading and he was in The Secret. He was the only Australian in The Secret, that movie that was created in the book. Yeah. And David Schwimmer was there, and there were three Americans. It was all our first times in Australia. And we asked him, with the Q&A came in, what did he just say? We didn't understand the accent. And then one guy said, hey, bloody ripper, mate. Do you know that you're flat out like a lizard on a log or on a whatever it was, flat out like a lizard eating, or they have You know, all these
expressions. Out like a lizard drinking.
Drinking water. Yeah, that was it. Drinking. I said, oh my God, what's a flat out? What does flat out mean? What lizard is drinking water? I don't. And it was, he did it to throw me. And he got a big charge out of the audience because they all laughed. We just laughed about it. And I think it pays, even if you're writing a book, you're doing a show, you're presenting something, you're talking to an audience. I'm having this back and forth fun with you because you're Aussie and I spent a lot of time in Australia. That was my first event of about 200 to come. Like I said, over the next few years, I almost lived half to three quarters of my life in Australia, in hotels, different places, coast to coast when I was running around doing these events. So hope that was
I get the point that we have to, market our message to the right audience. So like, a lot of my guests are from the US and sometimes some of the things I say, they don't understand. They pretend they do, but they don't. So I've tried to temper my words so that I'm easily understood. I'm a Canadian by birth. So I do understand, the difference in the terminologies and the vernacular and the colloquialisms and all those sorts of things. So, because I found that quite challenging when I first came here. I want to move on to the point about how we can utilize, big media and use it effectively so that it makes us the expert in the area that we are promoting.
Three ways I'll tell people how to leverage media. And I know I went long on that because I think it's so important, but I'll shorten this up. One is leverage what is called a media calendar. In order to get covered by the media, you have to be interesting so they are interested in you. And how do you do that? There are three ways. One is use the media calendar, meaning I would imagine Australia, you have Mother's Day like we do here.
Yeah.
Okay. Mother's Day, if you had a Mother's Day themed idea, if you had a book that was dealing with Mother's Day or something related, I know you have another channel that where you deal with other issues, but it might be National Woman's Day, anything related to it. We have Black History Month in America. You may not have that there. Maybe you have Aborigine Month. I don't know. Different calendar of events. Everybody has Christmas. We're from European ancestry, so Christmas is big. But if you relate to a media calendar, what are the holidays going on year round? And if you have something that's thematic for that month, they will be more receptive. The booking agent's job is to find interesting guests. That can be in print media, that can be in digital media, that could be in television, that could be in radio and or podcasts. If your theme, if I were talking about basket weaving and the art of basket weaving, we probably wouldn't be having this interview today because you're all about business in this particular context, in this environment. So I've got to be business related. So use a media calendar. Tip number one. Tip number two is leverage something called newsjacking. So during 9/11, which was 24 years ago, it's coming up on 23 and a half years ago in America, we had the terrible event called 9/11. After 9/11, I was walking up my stairs to my office. I owned an advertising agency in LA, and I was in my showroom. I had a toilet paper roll with the IRS 1040 form. What that means is our tax form was on there, meaning, oh gosh, we hate the taxpayer. We don't like the tax man. No different in your country or the UK, America, whatever. I thought, wouldn't it be great to put Osama bin Laden's face on a toilet paper roll and then say, put his face where it belongs on my butthole. And I used that and I garnered worldwide press. I got covered in the Sydney Morning Herald, by the way. I got covered by multiple radio shows in Australia, New Zealand, the UK, America, Germany, all throughout the US. I was on multiple TV stations because I sold these toilet paper rolls, piggybacking on the news cycle during that time. And I sold these toilet paper rolls around the world because the money, the proceeds, the profits went to the American Red Cross for the victims of the Twin Towers going down. So that was, and now, if I were to talk about 9/11 today, there would be zero traction. It's 24 years ago. It wouldn't have the same emotional, heightened feeling. So that's the other example I would give you. Third example, I wrote a book on AI when ChatGPT came out. I produced the world's very first event on ChatGPT. In 4 days, I sold out the event, standing room only, 563 people paid to attend my event in Las Vegas, Nevada. The world's first event on ChatGPT. I piggybacked on the media. Okay, so I did that. But I also did something else. I put myself on television showing my book on AI. That's the third tip. Write a book because it always is a unique thumbprint. Whatever the topic is, write a book on it. You will separate yourself, and that's a great way for you to stand out. Because if someone's written a book on the same topic, okay, but it's not your book. It's a unique book. It just got published, and here are the tremendous takeaways you're going to get when you consume the information in my book. Oh, it's available here. It's available there. And oh, by the way, it's a bestseller. All sorts of angles. So just to repeat, media calendar, jack the media about a news cycle, anything AI today. It's a flattening out a little bit, but still a very large trending topic. Not as hot as it was 2 years ago when ChatGPT opened up. Everything was exploding. You could, I mean, we were printing money with events. I ran four events very profitably. So it's those three elements will help you if you want to leverage media.
Yeah, and that's a really good point too. And thank you for sharing that, because I think, you know, some people get confused about how to leverage the media. You know, they think they've got to, you know, do big campaigns, and, you know, they've got to know somebody and do certain things. But those are really great tips. And, you know, I think we should be taking note of those and using them more often. Now, I want to go into about how we can use the assets that we have to turn them into cash, and, you know, gives us a constant lead flow.
Sure. So if you have a book, I mean, one of the easiest, let's say, springboards for a book is to get speaking gigs, because people are looking for, if you want to sell your books, the most recent book that I just published a week and a half ago is this one. It's an anthology. It's called The Amazing Authors of Singapore. These are a group of 23 authors with whom I taught them how to ideate, publish, and promote their books. They're all best-selling authors, and we put them all in an anthology, which is a reduced version, a shortened version of each of their books. Put it in this. This, too, is a bestseller on Amazon. And what I'm driving and how I taught them with the book process is then you open yourself up to using it to sell courses, sell consulting, sell events. But the starting point, think of it as the hub, and then all the spokes hold the hub into place in a wheel. The hub is your book. First, it's the idea that builds out into this very strong hub. The idea of, after you do some market research and you find what's receptive, and, you know, could be a news trend versus a fad, which comes and goes. You don't want to jump on a fad. You want to jump on a trend. Google Trends is a great tool to look at what trends are trending, which topics are trending. Write a book very quickly, and there are quick ways to do it today. You know, that's an option. And use that, then create a course, create a podcast. You've got to do the work.
Yeah.
You know, it took me 30 years to be an overnight success. You got to put in the effort. I mean, you have two different podcasts that I'm aware of, or there's there a third, or just two?
No, just two. Yeah.
Well, that's enough. Yeah. Well, my point is, you do this. I'm sure one was business, and the other one I think was passion. You talked about. There's an emotional connection to it. I get it. Totally understand. and use that as a leverageable tool. Writing a book, though, is key. I've been an event producer for 25 years. I was strictly a speaker for the first 15 years of my career. Then I started producing events. That's what I did in Australia. I spoke, and then I started producing with other people and throughout the U.S. And the reason I got into helping people publicize and become more well-known in their niche is because, Rose, you may know a lot about topic X. You might be a management expert or a consulting expert. Hypothetically, I don't know what all of your core competencies, but I'm going to pick that. Or a communications expert. But if you haven't written a book about it, if you haven't been on TV, haven't been on radio, don't have a column in a newspaper or a news source online or offline, it's very hard to get butts into seats. What is it about you that makes you unique so I can get attendees to come, pay to attend my event, and buy your pack, to buy your system? Well, you've got to add plumage as a peacock. There's that big bird that makes loud noises. It's got all these beautiful feathers behind him. The male peacock is the pretty one. And how do you build all these feathers behind you? It's news. It's media coverage. It's podcast interviews. Maybe you're a podcast host. Maybe you've been on the radio and you show the call letters of the radio. You've been on TV stations, or you've been on big YouTube channels, or you've been on different stages around the world. You show those feathers and proof, wow, I better listen to Rose Davidson, because she's not only a book author, she's a multi-series. She's written a series. She's been published in the Sydney Morning Herald. She's been on stages and showing the proof of being on these stages. She's a TEDx speaker. She's X, that all these credentials make you an irrefutable expert. And it's perceived value. It's, would somebody rather drive a Mercedes or a Hyundai?
The Mercedes, yeah.
Well, because it's branded better. It's all about perceived value equals profits.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this. When you were dating your, let's just say a woman is dating a man and he wants to very much so impress her. And I don't want to know about the local brands, but I'll use this as an example. In the box, the diamond is beautiful. It's a 2-carat diamond. He really went out and spent some money. Okay. He's got this 2-carat diamond in a nice box, but it's wrapped. It's presented in newspaper surrounding the diamond box. And he hands it to you, says, honey, I love you. And the tape has fallen off. It's not nicely put together. Your smile might leave your body versus if it's in a blue and white box from Tiffany. I know you've got those brands there in Australia as well. It's worldwide. Your smile is going to be genuine and it's going to go from Perth to Sydney. Okay. Yeah, exactly. All your teeth are going to show because it's a genuine smile. It's all perception. It's all perception. How do we create this beautiful plumage? Through media. Because people will pay premium prices for people who are perceived to be more valuable.
Makes absolute sense. Yeah, and I've often thought about writing a book about, podcasting. I mean, podcasting is what I do for a living. I love what I do, and I've got a couple of ebooks, and I thought about turning them into something published, but I've never really got into it. I must think about that.
Big opportunity, and you're already halfway there. Here's a tip. How many interviews have you done with experts like me?
582.
Okay, that's a 5-part book series. The first 100, second 100, third 100, fourth, and the fifth, and on to your sixth. That's a 5-part series of interviews with the experts by Rose Davidson. Make it simple. Transcribe it, hand it off to a writer. You've got a book. I mean, there are many steps involved, but I gave you the simplified, granular version. You've got your content. You don't need to stress. It's already there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great idea. I hadn't thought of that.
Real easy. And then you've got your other podcast, another topic. There's a different book right there. Something totally different. And your credibility jumps. That's a lot of interviews. Yeah. That's a lot of interviews. My gosh, this is a full-time deal. And how many interviews do you do a week?
Six.
Six for each show or three for each show?
No, I the other podcast does up to three once a week, and Talking with the Experts does up to six twice, like, and goes over 2 days.
Wow. Wow. You are a busy lady.
I am, but I like meeting new people, and it's
it's wonderful. And I've made a new friend. Yeah, all the way in Hobart. So if I ever get down there, I get to wave at the penguins. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, listen, if you want to find out more about Mitch, you can find him at Mitch Carson Official on Facebook. Mitch Carson Instant Celebrity on LinkedIn, on his website at mitchcarson.com. He's on Instagram. He's on Twitter. He's on YouTube at Mitch Carson Official. And he's on Pinterest as well. Now, you have a 30-minute media money roadmap call that you are offering our listeners today. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Mitch?
GetInterviewedGuaranteed.com/meetwithMitch. You can put that in the notes later. That is where, if you are interested in getting media coverage, I live in Las Vegas, Nevada. If you're in the U.S., yes, you can do remote interviews if you want. This is what I do. This is my day job. Is I'm a publicist for speakers, CEOs, podcast guests, or podcast hosts who want more exposure with network television. I'm your guy because I guarantee the coverage. And I am a host on NBC Channel 3 here in Las Vegas as well.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, have you got anything else you'd like to share with us today, Mitch?
It takes 1 inch at a time to get to a foot. It takes 1 centimeter in order to get to more and more centimeters to get to a meter. I bet you are a much better host today than you were in episode number one. Now you're almost
absolutely
at six. Well, and the same holds true for media. People are intimidated and afraid of what they don't know. Trust me when I tell you or share with you, in order to get into the media, you just need to be interesting. The book is easy. I mentioned the tips. It's all there covered. They're needing you more than you know. You simply have to take action. Take an action of one media outreach to another, to another, to another, and it will come to fruition for you. You have to plant the seeds in order to get a flower.
Absolutely, you do. Yes.
And that's where it comes into play. Or if you want a guaranteed media experience, reach out to me. That's my shameless pitch.
Wonderful. Mitch, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. I've enjoyed it tremendously. I look forward to talking with you again sometime into the future.
Thank you. Great to
Bye
be here,
now.
Rose.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time.